Megan lent me her notebook.
Did she write in it?
She did not. She did, yeah. There's some prayer requests for Miss Kitty in here. I think it's very important to be spiritual. I think it's very important to be spiritual. I lived a very carnal life as a lost person, and I don't mean in just the lust of my flesh and the lust of things that I wanted. You see, I never thought spiritual thoughts about God. I don't think lost people think spiritually in the way God would want them to. They go to church and they think about things and they have a way to consider the world around them. They'll have these ideas and some insights and whatnot, but being smart is not to be spiritual.
Right.
Your intelligence has nothing to do with your ability to be spiritual. A man told me, he said, you were raised by a good man. It'd be a lot easier for you to live right. And I said, sir, it'd be just as easy for you to walk in the Spirit as it would be for me.
That's right. That's
it's just as easy. I remember thinking things as a lost person that I thought were pretty smart. And you know what? They ended up being true. I was able to decipher it somehow and it was true, but it was not spiritual. It was never spiritual because sometimes it would come with bitterness and some anger and some hatred for other people. But when you're spiritually discerning, it doesn't come with that. It comes with peace and some joy. That's the difference. Peter, why don't you go ahead and stand and pray?
Father, I thank you for the preaching we've heard so far. As he helped Jake Byler as he's going home there, Father, as he helped Timothy, he preaches your word to us, Father. Help the young men in here stay awake, Father. Help them to listen. Help the young ladies in here, Father, to listen. I see you just bless us today. In your son's name I do pray. Amen.
All right. You can turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6. This verse has been on my heart for a while. It seems whenever I pray or get in my Bible, these same thoughts come back to me. I'll listen to other men preach, and these exact same thoughts come back to me. And a couple days ago, I was praying, and it all came back to me, and I thought, it's probably because God wants me to share it, to preach it. And so, let's start in verse 20. It says, my son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Very important. It says, bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it says, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. The law and the commandment do a work in a person, a spiritual work. The law and the commandment will help to awaken somebody. And for somebody to think spiritual thoughts, not just thoughts of what's going on around them, to be able to understand or maybe decipher a situation, and I'm at church, I know this is right and this is wrong, but to be spiritual minded is right, but to be carnally minded, first off, it's enmity and it's death. But people think, man, I'm real smart and I'm keen. And I have this all worked out in my mind. This must be spirituality. No. To be spiritually minded is what God wants you to be. He doesn't want you to be smart and keen. I know some people who you would think are, well, honestly, they probably don't have a very high IQ. And you know what? It's never hindered them spiritually.
That's right.
It's never hindered them. I used to think I was very smart. Because I could understand some things really quickly. And you know what? It kept me from God.
That's right.
It kept me from God. I would think of these things in my mind and be able to reason it out and somehow come to some conclusion that I thought was really right. But indeed, it was not spiritual because I never lived holy. If you're spiritual, you'll live holy. It says in verse 23, the continuation of this, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." What is that commandment? It's a lamp. The commandment is used to open the eyes. The commandment is used as a light. The commandment, when it comes, will open people's eyes. So somebody will stand in darkness, and then a commandment comes, and the commandment will pierce in, and it'll take that film away from their eyes, and a person will start to see when the commandment comes. It says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light." The law and the commandment, hand in hand. The law and the commandment, hand in hand. Go to Psalm 19. I wondered about Psalm 119 a lot. I've read it quite a few times. Memorized quite a few verses in it. I've always wondered, why does he talk about the commandment and the law and the ordinances and the testimonies? Why does it say over and over, "I love these things. I want these things. I follow after these things. Help me not to disobey these things." And we'll see this. I believe 100 chapters before Psalm 119, there's some understanding here. It says in Psalm 19, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, nor language, where their voice is not heard." This voice is something that goes beyond language or speech. It goes beyond day or night. It'll reach a person at all times. It has that power to do that. It'll reach a person and it'll enlighten a person. And it'll make a person consider, and it even has the power to convert a person. It says here in verse 4, very similar. We're going to see it in Isaiah 28. It says, "The line is gone out through all the earth." There's that line the Bible talks about, that measuring. That law will show you. It'll measure. It'll give you that measurement by which you can use it. That measurement will be used against you. It'll be used in your life. You need to use it. It says, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Consider this in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It's not what I'm going to preach about, but the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The Bible says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity?" I thought I was not a simple person. I know people that do not think they're simple people. I know people that think they're actually complex people. And they have great understanding and great knowledge and great abilities and talents and structure to their life and things that would make other people like them. But the Bible says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity?" And it talks about the testimonies that they're sure, making wise the simple. I know a man who I've known for years who sat under the preaching yesterday who had not heard preaching in probably 15 to 20 years. And he's lived a violent life and a foolish life. But he heard the preaching yesterday. And I rejoiced. I rejoiced that he heard the preaching, and I thought of that. I thought, the testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. I've argued with that man. I've had many, 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 many hours with that man working with him. But he's a simple man. He's a simple man. If you're not born again, you're a simple person.
That's right.
The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So the commandment comes along, and there's a people that dwell in darkness. We're going to see this. God uses the spirit of man. And the commandment comes along, and it hits a person, and it enlightens their eyes. Pastor Black preached it last Sunday. The people walk with enlightened eyes who have not been converted. You get your eyes open to things, you get a taste of things, but you've never been a partaker. So you hear these things and your eyes get opened, and then the decision rests with you. But what have you not done? You've not submitted to the law. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law has not been done away with, but you in your life have done away with the law. You've not wanted to consider the law, because the law will expose you as exceeding sinful. The law comes along, and somebody said, Peter said it good, the reproof needs to be accepted, but people don't accept reproof because they're brutish. You know why? Because the law is perfect, and it comes along, and you as imperfect hear the law, and you buck up against it. It makes you mad, it irritates you, but you know what the Bible says? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. It says that the commandment of the Lord is, what's it say there? Pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. What's it say of them? What does it say of these? I became convicted about these a couple months ago, and I was praying and I thought, why are they so important in Psalm 119? Why does he speak of them so often? And why does he say about these ordinances and testimonies and statutes and commandments and law? Why does he love them so much? Why do I read them as if they're nothing? But you know what the Bible says of them? It says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And this is why. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. There's great reward in keeping them. And by them thy servant is warned. You walk around not spiritual and in a carnal lifestyle, and I don't even mean in deep sin. I'm talking about carnality. I'm talking about not considering Jesus Christ. I hear some testimonies and it blesses me. It helps me because I think this is spiritual. This is spiritual. And people who are not spiritual walk in darkness. That's what the Bible says of them. They walk in darkness. And you know what the Bible says to you? Be warned. Be warned. Be warned. By these, the servant is warned. You can be warned by these things. You can hear, you need to be spiritual, but yet you walk in carnality. You walk in carnality. Let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. You see, these things are of God. And they are spiritual, and they're for you to understand. They're for you to understand. But we try to use what we've built up in our life and our own way of thinking. And I would hear preaching as a lost person, you need to cease from the way that you think. And I would almost become belligerent and think, how? How do I stop thinking what I'm thinking? But let me testify to you, it's wonderful to realize you're wrong. It's wonderful to agree with God over your own thoughts. I'll think sometimes, man, this is going to be an awful day. This is terrible. But then I'll realize that's because I'm disagreeing with God. That's because I don't agree with God. That's why. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That should be all and all. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Where does your faith stand? How does your faith stand? If it's not a spiritual faith, it stands in the wisdom of men. Stands in the wisdom of men. You yourself are a spiritual person, lost and saved. You have your spirits. You have them of God. But you don't agree with God. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet, what does it say of the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the principalities of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Over and over, even as a saved person, I come to some kind of understanding and some kind of reasoning in my mind, and I'll think, man, this has to be right. This has to be right, probably a lot of time, because I have pressure on my life from other areas, and I don't want to be wrong in people's eyes. Every man seeks to be right. They seek to be right, yes, righteous. They want to be right. And I'll think, man, this has to be true. This has to be right. But it's the wisdom of men. And it said, not by the wisdom of men. Not by the wisdom of men. I found often when I'm making a spiritual decision, it goes against everything in me about. Everything in me. Because I disagree with God at that time. Let's go over to Isaiah 28. Read out of Psalm 19 really quickly. Their line, verse 4, you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to read it. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. So their line has gone out through all the earth. Verse 9 in Isaiah 28, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Paul said, it's not with great speech or wisdom that he came to people. Verse 12, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Verse 13, but the word of the Lord was unto them. First it comes unto them to help them, to heal them. Then in verse 13, but the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. The word of God, the law, line upon line, it does its work in people's lives. It enlightens them. And once they're enlightened, it's pretty hard to run. Because at that point, you're kicking against the pricks.
Right. Yeah.
You hear it over and over. And you sit there, and the preaching goes on, and you've been enlightened. And it comes, and it stabs into you, and it cuts into you, and it hits you. And you have choices to make. You have choices to make. You must be spiritual. The Bible says you must be born again. You cannot live your whole life and not be born again. I was thinking about it the other day. I got born again at the age of 25. What a shame. What an awful shame in my life. I remember at the age of 9 being on an altar and weeping because I was so sinful at the age of 9. I was so wicked at the age of 9. And you know what? I rejected God even then. My mom was pretty rough in those days. And I remember one day, I was saying some pretty awful stuff. And she said to me, she goes, "You're not saved. You're so wicked." I remember being so angry and thinking, "I'm not even going to seek God. They don't believe me." But I was a liar. Of course you wouldn't believe me. I was a liar. And so I wouldn't seek God. But you know what? You think, "I'm going to put my whole life together. I'm going to structure my life. I'm going to get some talents and some skills in my hands and learn some things and be really useful." And that meant a lot to me, to be good at things. It meant a lot to me. And I would think, "I'm going to put my whole life together and get this structure and these abilities and build this foundation and kind of create. And man, I need to get saved because Youth Week's coming around and some meeting is coming around. And maybe we're going to have to travel to camp meeting and I have to get saved. I also have to add this to my life." But to be saved is the beginning of your life. Your life doesn't start until you get saved. There is no life before salvation. There is no life before salvation. You're just living in the long suffering of God. But God wants you to be born again. The Bible said, "Ye must be born again." You must be born again. I tell men at work, I say, "Ye must be born again." And you know what? They probably don't understand it as much as you don't understand it. Ye must be born again. My life just started. I feel like a child most days. My life just began. I wish my life had begun years ago. Turn to the book of Ephesians. If you think you're building a structure for your life and you're setting things up in your own mind and you have things you need to accomplish and get good at and maybe even get married, I used to hear men quote Sammy Allen, who would say that, "Why don't you get saved first before you get married? Why don't you get saved first before you seek out a spouse? Why don't you get saved first before you get a career? Why don't you get saved first before you start building up your life?" Pastor Vernon sent out a text one time and he said, Sam had just gotten married and he sent out a text and he said, "We had just put a roof on Mr. McVeigh's house." And he said, "Which is harder, to get married, which there's a lot of work involved, or to get saved, which is harder, which takes more?" He sent out another text and said, "Which is harder, to put a roof on a house or to get saved? Which is more difficult for a person? What's more difficult for you, to put a roof on a house or to get saved?" The Bible says you must be born again. It never says you must put a roof on your house. The Bible says ye must be born again, but we'll put all the labor and effort of our life into things around us, but we will not seek the face of God. The Bible said, "Seek and ye shall find." It's a promise. It's not a colloquial saying. I remember hearing at a pretty young age, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And I remember being under great conviction by that and thinking, if only I could hunger and thirst after righteousness. If only I could want it that bad. But you know what? I love to live carnally. I loved carnality. I loved to live carnally. Just frivolously. Do this, do that. I've had great friends in the past, very consistent, great friends to be around, and we had great conversations, and we were very wise in our understandings, and we would talk politics, and I would read very, very long books about historical figures, series of books, long ones and in-depth, and I would talk about these things, and I thought I was quite the intellectual as a young man. And I would talk to other people and I would educate to them to these things, and then we could have conversations about them. And How wonderful was I to educate my friends to these things? And you know what? Now after I got saved, they try to talk about things like that, and it means nothing to me. And it's boring, and it hurts. Because I think, why don't they want to talk about Jesus? And when you reprove them of sin, and you tell them, why don't you get out of fornication? Why don't you live right? Why don't you seek out God, which is more important than any conversation and any fun time? They get bothered, they get irritated, and they go right back to that same conversation. They just kind of get look at you and they go, okay, but what I'm saying, people are not realizing this about the church. And then they start talking about the church again. And I go, why don't you get saved? And then they'll say, talk about this and this in the church. And Peter will say to the person, that's because our family hates God. And he'll just kind of look at Peter and go, well, why don't we just do that? And just start talking. And you know what? God doesn't care about any of that. God doesn't care about your wisdom. Your wisdom means nothing to Him. Your wisdom means nothing to God. Your frivolous conversations mean nothing to God. God wants you to be born again. That's what God wants from you. You're no intellectual before God. You're not smart before God. What are your talents before God? Peter said that about you can give nothing to God that He hasn't given to you. And I immediately said, well, Peter, you can give Him praise. But the Bible says that the praise of God is the fruit of our lips. But it also says that I, the Lord, create the fruit of the lips. You can't even praise Him because He put it in my mouth. When I praise God, it's because God put it there. Some people talk and it's just frivolous garbage. It's just frivolous garbage that comes out of their mouth. And it bothers me now. I used to really enjoy. I remember people would bring up something spiritual and I'd be the same person. I'd go, oh man, why do you have to ruin a fine time? But the Bible requires you to be spiritual. I've spent more time in church recently to my own angst at times than I have close to my, just repetitively in church and in church and in conversation after conversation. But I'll find when I'm bucking up against it, it's often because I don't want to be spiritual and I want to be carnal. Yeah. And I'll watch other people sit there and just hunker down and fold their arms and kind of get grumpy and they don't want to think about spiritual things. But the Bible wants us to talk and think about spiritual things. You can talk about anything and it not be wrong. But there's people that hate spiritual things. Ephesians chapter 5. We talked about the law being a light and the commandment being a lamp. It said that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Look in verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. That is what God wants for you. That is what God wants for you. It is not too late. Often in my bitterness, I think, I've messed up so bad, why would I start now? And then a couple weeks go by, and I think, I've messed up too bad, why would I start now? And then a couple more weeks go by, and I think, I've messed up too bad. Why would I start now? But the Bible said today is the day. So you know what you do? You seek Him with the whole heart. You consider the regular things that you do in your life and you think, what could I do instead? What could I do instead? I'm not trying to put burdens on you that are too heavy. I just want you to consider Jesus Christ. I want you to consider Him. Jake preached that maybe you should take dirt and put it in your hair and repent before God. And I thought of this one time. I thought, if people were really that serious about seeking God, why don't you just fast until you get saved? I thought, that's pretty rough. Oh, and so it came on me to fast until I got right with God. It'd do us good to be spiritual. Why don't we just be spiritual? Why don't we just get up in the morning and decide to be spiritual in our life instead of being carnal, just thinking about carnal things and doing carnal things? Why don't we just even try to be spiritual? It might be good for the young people to try to follow the law and try to follow the commandment as best as they can. It might be so good for them to, with all their might, with everything that's in them, with all their strength, with all their breath, with all their thoughts, all that they have, to try to seek God. Try to seek Him. All the other junk that goes on in your life, all the other desires and foolishnesses and lusts and desires, what you want to do with your time, I don't think you'd regret it when you got older. I don't think you would regret that at all. In Ecclesiastes, it tells the young person, it says, do these things. God wants you to enjoy your youth. Youth is a gift. God's given it to you. But youth is vanity. Because what profit is there in being young? What profit is there? That's what a vain thing is. It's something that there's no profit to it. The Bible says that beauty is vain. What profit is there in beauty? How does it help you? It doesn't profit you in the long run. What did your youth help you with? It's a time that God gave you as a gift. And you know what I did with my youth? I squandered it. I squandered it in fakery. I squandered it in living up to the moment of a meeting and then deciding right then, maybe I need to get right. Maybe I need to consider things. And my bitterness would always pull me away. It would always pull me away. I'd get really warm and happy towards God. And I would approach right up to Him. I'd get closer and closer in my own mind. I was getting closer. And then something would happen and I would think, what is the point? Does it matter? Yes, it matters. Yes, it matters that you seek God. You must seek God. You must. You know why I can obey the law and the commandments? Because I have an inward man that cannot disobey. That cannot disobey. It cannot. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 20. I'm going to wrap this up. Verse 27. Here's the tool of God. Very interesting thing. God uses this as His tool. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. That candle doth make manifest. God uses that spirit. Click, turns it on, and He uses that tool. That spirit, you hear the preaching, and your spirit responds to it. And God uses it to search you. God uses it. The Bible says of hell that it's a place where there is no light. No more time to be convicted. I remember I would get under conviction and my hair, the hair on my arms would raise and I would become very convicted and sit there and think, man, I'm so glad I'm convicted right now. And then I'd get pleased with the conviction and think, oh, I'm doing right because I'm convicted. I remember one time crying so much that I created a puddle and I decided, I think they'll think I'm trying to get saved more if I create this puddle that goes to here. And so I sat there and just started like weeping weird tears and my eyes hurt really bad afterwards because I cried so hard. I wasn't right to cry. You're not right when you're under conviction. You're not right till you're born again. You'll never be right until you're born again. Conviction is not what saves you.
Right.
Jesus Christ is salvation.
Amen.
A man texts me all the time, verses. I decided to text him back, what is Jesus Christ? All he texted back, little sayings back and forth. But Jesus Christ is salvation. If you know that He is righteous, you'll know that he that doeth righteousness is born of Him. It's a spiritual understanding. Let's go to Psalm 16. Just considering the work of God in people. It's said of the law in Proverbs 6, and that commandment that'll talk with you in the night, and when you awake in the morning, it'll talk with you, and it'll speak with you in the night. I believe this is similar. In Psalm 16, verse 7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. A candle, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, lighting the inward parts of the belly. You hear that commandment, you hear that law, and it lightens you on the inside. God tries to search you out and expose you. It says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Let's turn to Zechariah 12. God gave you that spirit. God gave it to you as a tool that He could do a work on the inside of you. I want you to understand that. Verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. God's formed that on the inside of you, and He's formed it so that you could come under conviction, so that you could hear the word of the Lord. I asked some people before the service if they had readied themselves for the preaching, because it's so important to hear. Yeah. It's so important that God uses your spirit to search the inward parts. It's so very important. At a very young age, it becomes very important to let God search you, to let God deal with you, and to work in you, and to expose to you His thoughts. See, God wants you to have truth on the inward parts. That's where He wants it to appear in you. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. What about this law? What about this law? What does Paul say of this law? The Old Testament speaks so much of the law. Jesus Christ in the Old Testament speaks so much of the law and of the commandments and of the ordinances and of the testimonies and of the things of God. He speaks so much of them, and He wants you to hear about them, but why? Why? It says in verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." The law is spiritual. The law does that work. The law is that line. The law is that measurement. The law lines it out. It gives you that measurement. It's that rule. You take that rule and you measure from one surface to another surface. And the law on the inside of you, which is spiritual, does that work. God is spiritual. God does that work on you. Don't think it's of you. It's a mercy of God that He would work on you, on the inward parts. Turn to the book of Galatians. Verse 24. It says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster." What did it do? To bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. That's what the law has done. It said, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The testimonies of the Lord..." What does it say of them? "The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple." It does a wonderful work in you. You need to be spiritual. You can't live your whole life carnal. You can't do that. You can't live your whole life carnal. It'd be awful to live your whole life carnal. You know why? Because it's all vanity. It's all vanity if you live your whole life carnal. What's the profit in that? What's the profit? What shall it profit a man? This is so simple. We've all heard it. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Yeah. Don't fear man. You can just kill the body. Fear God. What can God do, both body and soul? Put him into hell. Fear God. Says the, I believe, the fear of the Lord. I think it's just and is righteous altogether. I'll end with that. Thank you.